This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Health and Human Services to order. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to everyone on the internet, and I'd like to remind you to turn your cell phones down or off, and again, if they go off, we're going to ask for a donation to the Habitat Fund. I ask the Secretary to call the roll.
Representative Borglum.
Present.
Deutsch.
Here.
Fry Miller, excused. Healy.
Here.
Milstead.
Here.
Miss Kimmons.
Here.
Perry.
Here.
Rounds.
Here.
Smith.
Here.
St. John, excused. York.
Here.
Wheezy.
Here.
Jensen.
Here.
We have a quorum, Mr.
Okay, thank you. Approve minutes from the last meeting.
So moved. Second.
Representative Perry moves. Approves minutes. Seconded by Representative Rounds. Those in favor say aye.
Comments.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I do believe 19 pages of minutes. Our secretary deserves some kudos. I appreciate the work she does in this committee.
Good. Thank you very much. Yes, we do applaud all the work they do. We couldn't do this without them. I guess I'd like to remind all the testifiers of two things here. 136 and 137, we have been requested to move now till next Tuesday. So everybody else smile on this one. We probably won't have a meeting Thursday. We don't have any bills, so we will not meet Thursday. And we're taking 85 first this morning and then 61 once we get into it. So I'd like to remind lobbyists and anybody that wants to testify to sign in. And then when you come to the microphone, please announce who you are with. And yes, Mr.
I apologize for interrupting you during the minutes, but we never did say yay on the minutes yet.
Oh, well, that was your fault.
That is my fault. I'm taking the blame.
Okay. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Minutes approved. Thank you for that. See, we have a late night and an early morning. It's easy to get distracted, so... typical, you know, rules is kind of we'll be a little more relaxed this morning. Address your questions through the chair, and I'd like to have the pages come forward and introduce themselves. Tell us a little about yourself.
Good morning, everybody. Congratulations on surviving crossover. It's smooth sailing from here to the end, right? I'm Michael Garofalo. I'm from Aberdeen. I'm a junior up at Aberdeen Roncalli High School. I have a class size of about 41, and my college plans as of this moment are undecided, but I think paging is definitely going to help me make some important decisions.
Good morning. My name is Natasha Allardings. I go to Dolan. I'm going to graduate with a class size of about 7. I plan on attending SDSU or University of Nebraska-Lincoln for animal science, and I plan on furthering my career and going into vet school.
Very good. Thank you very much. Are there any introductions or personal privileges on the committee? Okay, then I think we'll move right into Senate Bill 85, an act to revise the deadline for the Department of Health's annual report regarding abortions. Any proponent of testifying? Good morning.
Good morning, Chairman and members of the committee. I'm Senator Jim Stalzer from Sioux Falls, District 11. And this bill came to me, I guess, basically because the original date of November 15th was in a bill I brought a number of years ago. And this year, Right to Life approached me and said that they would like these numbers earlier and that they would like them by the 1st of July. The data is to the Department of Health by the 15th of January, and our neighboring states release these numbers by April 30th. So I talked to the Secretary of Health. She's got no problems with whatever date works best for us. And so I will let Dale speak to the bill, but all we do is change the date that the report is due from November 15th to July 1st. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other proponent testimony? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and committee members. Dale Barcher, Executive Director with South Dakota Right to Life. We do rise in support of SB 85. SB 85 would simply direct the State Department of Health to release its annual report on July 1 rather than November 15th for the previous year. This would make the South Dakota abortion information available 4.5 months earlier to numerous citizens and organizations, no matter what their political persuasion might be. They, along with South Dakota Right to Life, would then have that current and very valuable data for events like, well, summer conventions and conferences, summer county fairs, and the state fair. Our state's Right to Life annual convention, which takes place in September, and the annual Respect for Life month of October. When compared to surrounding states, SB 85 should not be a burden to the South Dakota Department of Health. The 2017 abortion report is only 11 pages in length. The statistics which make up this report by statute must be into the Department of Health by January 15th, following the year of its report. I find it interesting that the Nebraska Department of Health had a 21-page report with 2017 statistics out in April of this year. The Minnesota report was 80 pages in length and for 2017, and they had it out July 1st of this year. Simply put, SB 85 seeks to equip a wider distribution of up-to-date statistics on abortion to South Dakota citizens who may wish to share timely data on abortion in the state of South Dakota. South Dakota Right to Life respectfully asks that you support SB 85, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Is there any other proponent testimony? Do we have any other proponent testimony? Seeing none, do we have any opponent testimony? Seeing none, open it up to committee questions. Representative Rounds.
I have a question for the sponsor. Senator Stalter, I just see that the public report, the report should be made public. Is it sent to the, do we get a copy of this report?
It's posted on the website of the Department of Health.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions from the committee? I'll close public testimony and open it up to committee action or discussion.
Mr. Chair.
Move Representative Deutsch.
Move do pass.
Second.
Second by, moved by do pass by Representative Deutsch, second by Representative Smith. Any discussion on the bill? Okay. Thank you. I'll have the secretary call the roll.
Representatives Borglum.
Aye.
Deutsch.
Aye.
Fry Miller excused. Healy.
Aye.
Milstead.
Aye.
Ms. Kimmons.
Aye.
Perry.
Aye.
Rounds.
Aye.
Smith. St. John excused. York.
Aye.
Wiese.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
11 ayes, 2.
Okay. House Bill. I'm so used to saying House Bill. Senate Bill 85 will move to the floor.
Mr. Chairman, move second. Consent.
Second. Second.
Okay. Representative York moves consent, seconded by Representative Healy. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Okay. Senate Bill 85 will be on consent. Thank you. Thank you for your patience this morning, Senator Stalzer. Thank you. We will now move to Senate Bill 61, an act to provide certain provisions regarding nursing facility closures. Do we have any proponent testimony? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, fine members of the House Human and Health Services Board or Committee. I have an amendment that I would like to move, if that's okay, Mr. Chair, or like have moved.
Yes, that's fine.
We're going to distribute it, and if it's okay, Mr. Chair, if I could speak to it just a little bit while it's being handed out.
Okay.
Our amazing LRC staff, and I do mean that, and all authenticity here, took the opportunity to read through this bill before it hit your fine committee and brought up some concerns in the bill, not only in verbiage, but also in what my original intentions are. And I think she nailed it. So I really want to say thank you to Ms. Anita Thomas for bringing that up for us. And we can get this the way we want it and to the way we originally wanted to have it. And then we can maybe go a little bit further, if that's okay, Mr. Chair.
So we would like to move that amendment now.
I move 61BA.
Representative Rounds moves 51BA, seconded by Representative Smith. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like same. Okay, you may address the bill as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Senate Bill 61 comes to you. As many of you know, I like to continuously remind everyone that I have the largest house district in the state of South Dakota, 8 counties. I have a lot of nursing homes. And a particular county that I'm talking about is the one I'm from. We have 2 nursing homes in that county, both closed within months of each other just recently, those communities being Selby and Mobridge. Selby was able to fundraise into the amount of $500,000 and was able to keep their facility open through private donations and a foundation. It was a phenomenal effort. Mobridge, on the other hand, had some real, I'll call them opportunities in terms of facility structure, the shape it was in. Any sort of an acquisition would have put them millions of dollars in the hole before they could even address the shortfall for Medicaid. So it was a lot less appealing. Going through the closure process, Mobridge closed its facility, but the organization that currently owns the facility gets to maintain those licenses. So if we wanted to, as a community, do the same thing that we did in Selby and do some foundation fundraising and get that money available and wanted to build the facility, those licenses are still tied up with the old existing facility just in case they find somebody to sell it to or to use it as leverage against the community to try to sell it to us. This bill right here would address that very issue. This would allow the opportunity for those beds within 18 months of the closure of that facility to be transferred to any new facility in the community. So what this is this allows us to keep that opportunity in our communities. The big issue in our area is not the demand for nursing care. That has never been a problem. We've always had substantial demand for nursing care. It's always been the facilities or the demand for the workforce. That's always been our biggest issue. So I tell you what, I know there's other people who want to speak as proponents, so I'm going to stand by for questions. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you.
Okay, thank you. Is there any other proponent testimony? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I'm Kim Malsom-Reisen with the Department of Health, and we are here to urge your support of Senate Bill 61. We very much appreciated the ability to work with the sponsors of this bill to get to the outcome that they're seeking, which is additional flexibility when nursing homes in certain communities close so that we can have potential new options in those communities. The committee here might remember a presentation that we at the department did here at the beginning of session around nursing home beds and the moratorium. We do have the ability within the state to redistribute beds that become available through closures or voluntary bed relinquishment by facilities. What this bill does is it makes it easier for those communities where that closure happens by not requiring them to go through that competitive RFP process. So that is to say, it adds flexibility for closures in the future. We do still have 255 beds that are available for redistribution to other communities in the future if nursing home beds are needed elsewhere in the state. So with that, we appreciate the sponsors of the bill and would urge your support of this.
Okay, thank you. Is there any other proponent testimony? Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Tammy Hadding, and I'm the Vice President of Post-Acute Care and Education at the South Dakota Association of Healthcare Organizations, also known as SADAHO. I'm here representing our members and our Council on Public Policy in support of Senate Bill 61. Part of our nursing home crisis today, in addition to our low provider rates, is our aging facilities. In South Dakota, most facilities are over 40 years old, and with the threat of new closures on the horizon, we feel this bill is a great solution to not only keeping and maintaining our beds in our small communities, but also opening up the door to the possibility of new construction. So with that, we stand in support of Senate Bill 61.
Okay, thank you. Is there any other proponent testimony? Do we have any other proponent testimony? I'm liking what I see on the list. Do we have any opponent testimony? I did not see any registered. Do we have any opponent testimony? Okay, I'll open it up to committee questions.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Deutsch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A question for the Secretary. Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Thank you. I guess... I need a little refresher. Line 6 of the bill, can you please explain to me the difference between authorized beds and unauthorized beds?
Mr. Chair, yes. I believe the term authorized is referring to the moratorium level of beds that a facility would have. And so those were the number of beds that were in place when our state statute put the limit in place.
Okay, follow-up.
Follow-up, Ms.
And briefly, can you review with me the purpose of establishing the moratorium?
Mr. Chair, and I would reference the report. We do an annual report on the status of nursing home beds in the state of South Dakota, and so you guys have that, and that's a good reference, I think, for kind of some of the history. So just to point that out, but the moratorium was put in place decades ago and had been by the legislature to cap the number of nursing home beds that each facility had at the time of the original moratorium, and that was in the late 1980s. After that point, then the moratorium was continued at that same level of beds for those specific facilities until it was permanently put into place here just about 10 years ago. And so the moratorium was originally enacted to control the growth of nursing home beds in the state because we were seeing growth that wasn't supported by the need, and with that comes costs to the state. And so that's why the original moratorium was enacted. We've done a lot of work in this area to kind of see, you know, out into the future, what is the need for nursing home beds going to be for our population, and within the overall total number of beds within the moratorium. We feel like we will have enough beds if we can get them to the right places into the future. And so that's really kind of how we manage that aspect of our long-term care system.
And just one follow-up. So beds have actually become a commodity, would you say?
Mr. Chair, that's a very interesting question, and we've had a lot of discussion over the years around that concept. Beds are not, you know, able to be moved except in certain situations, and they are, you know, reallocated if they become available within the moratorium levels according to the law that outlines the RFP process. So they're not sold as a commodity per se, but they are managed in a way that ensures that they're going to places where there's an actual need.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for the latitude.
You're fine. Well, I just one quick follow-up on that. So not really calling it a commodity, but is there a financial exchange between facilities when they move a bed, or is it just moved from one location to another?
Mr. Chair, so, you know, it's common for nursing homes to sell their operations or their facilities to another operator, and so that would happen.
Okay, thank you. Sure. Any other questions? Representative Rounds.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and my question is going to deal with some language under the amended version. The date the facility closes, the word closes means the last day there is a patient there, or when they announce their closing, when does that 18 months start?
Mr. Chair, thank you for that question. It is a specific term. So closure, if a nursing facility wants to close its operations, there's a process that they have to follow. It's a federal process. They have to give a 60-day notice, and that goes to the federal government. And so the date of closure is a specific date that is tied to that notice.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, follow up, Representative Browns.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And the follow up question would be the 18 months. Is that kind of a compromise figure somewhere in the middle, or do you think you may need more at some point in time?
Mr. Chair, I won't speak for the sponsor's intent on that. I know working with Senator Steinhauer on the, the prime sponsor of this, that 18 months was felt to be enough time. I don't think from the department's perspective that we feel like it will not be enough time.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Questions? Representative York.
Mr. Chairman, for the sponsor, please. Thank you for putting together the bill. Just a little recap for the simplicity of the whole thing. Nursing home decides that they need to close for one reason or another, close their doors. They retain their ownership of those beds and whatever else for 18 months. If in 18 months they want to rebuild and remodel or reopen, then they're good to go with the same licensure they had before. There'll be some inspection, I imagine.
Mr. Chair, so I'm not exactly sure as to how long they can hold their licenses. Can I phone a friend here? Okay. So the beds are held by the department with their name, right? They're still licensed for those beds.
They're just held by the department.
They're just held by the department. Okay. So they're licensed for those beds. Then when a new facility would open, yes, they would have to go through the process, but the beds that are licensed already in the community could just transfer and stay in that community.
Okay. Thank you. Follow up, and thank you for calling a friend. So what if it's 18 months have gone by, they're kind of in the planning stages, but they don't have things concrete yet, they still need to raise a little more money, it gets to be 2 years or 2.5 years, do those beds then go away and they have to reapply for a whole new structure? Is that how it would go at that time? Okay, call a friend. Thank you.
Substitute.
Mr. Chair, Kim Olson-Reisen again. Representative York, I think if that were to happen, then what we would do at the department level is work with that entity.
All right.
And work them through the existing RFP process, which, they would have everything in place to be able to do that.
Thank you. Always glad to see departments be flexible. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other questions? Representative Perry.
Mr. Chair, I have several questions, and they're all ones that seem like we should think about as we go forward. I like your bill, and I like what we're trying to do here, but I keep hearing with nursing homes, we're into the 40th year, and with motels and things like this, they do planning. We're on the 15th year. They replace all the carpet on a certain time. They do different things. Is there some way that we could get that particular line of business to do a better job of keeping up so that they don't run into the obsolescence?
Mr. Chair, if I may, we'll be getting a little bit into the weeds of nursing homes, but as most of you and many of you know, that the Medicaid reimbursement rate were substantially lower than what the costs are right now. I think the numbers that have been thrown out is average 146 as opposed to 209, I believe, are what the numbers I've heard. And if not, they're within dollars of each other. So what you're seeing happening to facilities is they don't have the revenue or the capital to be able to keep or maintain a lot of their facilities. So there are things that are going by the wayside. Not much different than you or I. Maybe you don't have the money for that set of tires. They might go just a few more months or so on and so forth. So what happens is when you're dealing with most of our facilities having been built in the 60s, when we're dealing with, it's not funny because it's true, but nursing homes that need nursing homes, we're running into those issues of dilapidated buildings and facilities. So we're also very realistically on the cuff of these facilities closing simply because the facilities no longer can maintain or
provide the accurate care that they need. So in those situations, this bill would then come into effect. The community maybe wants to do fundraising, and we've proven that it's possible. I mean, we raised over $500,000 in less than 3 months. So, I mean, it's entirely possible. But if that were the opportunity, I feel the 18 months would be ample amount of time to at least have, started on the groundbreaking, and then we can work with the secretary saying that, hey, this is how serious we are. We need to start this process.
Follow-up?
Okay.
Mr. Chair, basically what you said was really true, and it's very interesting, but, we call this a nursing home crisis. This is a nice step, a good step. It's at least a step. What can we do other than this step to make things better? And I know that's a lot of pressure on you there, Mr. Speaker.
Well, thank you very much for the promotion, too. You're right. You're absolutely right. And that's quite literally the intent of this bill. So over the summer, over the time span, it's not that we didn't see what was happening. We know that the financial aspect's going to be something. But what are some other opportunities? Where are some other areas that could use a tweak there or a fix there or whatever to help either deregulate it so we can get more staff in to help them or to make things easier for local communities? As we all know, and there are no two communities alike. We all have our rare situations. So, but I appreciate that. I really do. And this is one of them. And so we went to Senator Steinhauer, knowing that he is so well versed in this subject and more or less a champion in this topic. We went to him, and this is what he helped us out with.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Any other questions? And I'll save mine for comments. So if, I guess we can close public testimony and go to committee action or discussion. And I'll just say, I'm a firm believer that if we're not moving forward, we're moving backwards. And sometimes these bills, they're a small step in the right direction, and they help us set the new direction. And I applaud bills like this. So thank you. Because sometimes a patch, when we work on a patch, it helps us find the total solution while we're digging for it. So any discussion or comments?
Sure.
Okay, Representative Rounds.
I would move due pass on Senate Bill 61 as amended.
Representative Rounds moves due pass, seconded by Representative Smith. I could see the head nod. Thank you. Any other discussion on that motion?
Sure.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I do want to address a short comment or a question that the good Representative Deutsch had talked about earlier, a commodity. Some of you may remember a bill that the Senate's prime on this brought a couple of years ago where, he's always thinking about different ways to save this industry, and he thought maybe we should allow nursing homes to sell the rooms, make them a commodity, and that would be down because it basically would put an artificial value on some of the rooms, I believe. But we've got people that are working on this at all times, trying to find a way to solve the issue. And this is a little step, especially for the smaller communities out there. Up in, what'd you say, I think he said 7 in your district, nursing homes. He's counting. But there are a lot of small-town nursing homes up in that district that are hanging by a thread right now. And if this can help these communities up there to keep their loved ones close to home in any way, I think we should pass it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments on the motion? Okay, I'll have the secretary call the roll.
Representative Borglum excused. Deutsch?
Aye.
Frymiller excused. Healy?
Aye.
Milstead?
Aye.
Ms. Kimmons?
Aye.
Perry?
Aye.
Rounds?
Aye.
Smith?
Aye.
St. John excused. York?
Aye.
Wiese?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
10 ayes.
10-0. Senate Bill 61 passes.
Yeah.
Representative Rounds moves consent, seconded by Representative Wiese, I believe. Representative Ms. Kimmons, thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. I'll get it there. Okay. Thank you. That's all of our business for today. We will have no meeting on Thursday. No meeting Thursday. Next Tuesday, we will take 136, 137, and whatever else comes our way. So thank you, everybody. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
I move.
Okay, second. Okay, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. We are adjourned.